Pows. Pows. There was a half second when like I got down here and I texted you and you weren't responding. And this is gonna sound mean because it's gonna sound like I wish terrible things on you, and I don't. But like you didn't respond right away like you usually do, and I was like, maybe he can't make it, and I'll have to cancel, and I won't have to do this show. And like I got legitimately excited, and then I just had started to boot up Skull and Bones, and then headed down. I was like, son of a bitch, he's fine, and he just didn't see the text right away. Damn it!
Yeah, we were doing the Skull Dungeon run on Stardew Valley, and we were in the middle of it.
Oh, it's one of those things. Stopped with Baldur's Gate?
No, we haven't stopped. We actually were gonna play that at first, but it just so happened that multiple times throughout the course of the day today, Stardew Valley came up in conversation, and we were like, we haven't played that in a real long time.
Gets that thirst going. Has the real question is, has Kayla been able to nail Karlach yet? I mean, that's really what we're all hoping for here. No.
We are at the point now where we believe we will be able to take and kind of get that all taken care of potentially at the second possible time.
Okay. All right. My fingers are crossed.
Speaking of, actually, there was something I meant to mention to you.
This was like weeks ago. I've been meaning to ask you about it because I remembered you saying in a podcast like weeks ago, yes, I have a Baldur's Gate 3 story for you. I'll tell you in between. And then we just never got to it. And I remembered it like 2 weeks ago. But then every time we get on, I forget to ask you what it is. So I'm glad we're talking about this now. What is this story?
We made a boss kill himself.
Oh, I've heard about this. Was it the coin guy?
It was not the coin guy.
Okay.
I guess, spoilers for anybody who's not at this part, cause I mean, we're like 60 hours in and we're still in act one.
Right.
But the Moonrise Towers in that area, we went through, we found like this cursed bar. We did that thing with like this big drunk dude. And then we stumbled across like an infirmary. And in that infirmary was, technical cat difficulties.
Yeah, it's always cats with you.
She's twisted herself up.
It's always pets.
So we found this infirmary, and we found one of like the tiefling children that we had. It was the one that you saved from the nasty lady in the druids area.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, I can't find my family. Where's my family?
That doesn't end well.
So we go in there and we see two dead tieflings and we're like, shit, you know, like what the hell's going on here? So we have speak with dead. So we spoke with dead and they're the tiefling child's parents. Well, son of a bitch.
Yep.
So we're already in this. And
that second act is real depressing.
Oh, we're not. Yeah, this is still the first act.
Second act.
No, this is, we haven't even done Moonrise Towers. Like, we got two Moonrise Towers.
Moonrise Towers is second act, man.
That's the second act?
Yeah,
the
second act. Yeah. After the dwarf city, it's second act.
Oh, I didn't know that was second act.
Yeah, you guys are in second act. It's second act.
Oh, I thought that was still first act.
Yeah. Well, third act is when you hit Baldur's Gate 3, I believe. I mean, Baldur's Gate, not the game name, but...
So, in this infirmary area, that's like cursed nurses that are like trying to like learn the ways of healing, but their whole thing is like, oh, pain is healing, you know?
Yeah.
And there's this guy who's like leading all of them too.
The fucking evil ass doctor.
Yeah.
He was one of the hardest fights for me.
We didn't have to do it.
He was the guy?
Wow. He was the guy.
How'd you do it? I gotta hear.
I lucked out somehow because I'm playing a barbarian. Mm-hmm. So I'm big dumb.
Right.
And I walk over and I successfully get three rolls in a row.
That's pretty checks impressive.
Checks against like knowledge, religion, and something else. And it basically was me saying, hey, you're not doing that right. The only way you can really teach them is to be the subject in which they work.
I remember that conversation.
And he's like, you know what? You're right. And he just kills the guy on the table, yeets his body and lays down. It's like, go to town. And they just wreck him right then and there. And I'm like, I'm watching this happen. I'm like, wow, this is a really weird interaction. I wonder if this is like, you know, supposed to be a boss or something.
Oh, he is.
He's a boss.
He was one of my hardest fights. I remember him. I fought him like three or four times. And like, it was to the point where like, I couldn't find new ways to level my characters up. I just didn't have the best like loadout for my characters. And they would just, oh, those nurses, those fucking nurses. They keep coming back to life. And it is a nightmare to fight that fight.
Yeah, we didn't have to do any of that. They stabbed the shit out of him. He dies, we loot his shit, and they just walk away.
You know what's super fucked up about that, too, is you're a super dumb barbarian, right?
Yeah.
The character that I had kept trying to convince him to kill himself and failing the roles, and I was a monk. I had religion. And I could not do it. Every time I did this conversation, I mean, I thought maybe I could get him to kill himself, but I never got that far. It always turned into, like, stabby, stabby, McStab, stab. But yeah, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Let me ask you a quick question. Have you gotten to the village where everybody is hiding out?
No.
No?
No.
With all the people from the original city?
No.
Okay. All right. I'll shut up then. Cause there's something in that city that can make second act even more depressing, because my second act was, it was heart-wrenching for me. Like, as a player, I was like me, outside of the game, like, I was, like, crying by the end of the second act. It was a nightmare. So, but I don't want to spoil anything, so I want to wait till you get to whatever part happens, see what happens with you, and then discuss. So when you guys get to that city, let me know, because, yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think that's what we're looking for right now.
Yeah.
Time to get your fix. It's a horrible gaming podcast. It's not good, it's not great. Horrible gaming podcast. It's not even what you would call fair. It's really not that good. Horrible gaming podcast.
Hello, my name is Zachariah with Old Man Gaming. You, dear listener, for whatever reason, have decided to listen to another horrible gaming podcast. With me is
Neil, a.k.a. a tiny wizard.
I'm not alone. Usually I'm never alone, though I do say things out of order. I am
until you said it.
Yeah, I did. The obsessive compulsive in me. And the minute I pointed at you, I was like, you've got to find a way to say that or you're not going to be able to sleep tonight. So here we go. We are going to be doing kind of,
traditional.
traditional. Traditional. Yeah, I mean, our traditional has been varying over the years, I would say, but this is going to be a relatively depressing episode. It is going to be, not a fun one, because I feel we both talked about this a while, on the subject. We can't not talk about basically the imminent crash of the AAA of AAA gaming and what's happening right now in the industry, which is just going to be a bummer and it's going to be depressing. But I feel like we have to at least have one podcast about this, and then we can move on to like, what games are your favorite games with analog sticks? We can move back to that and that'll be great. But like, for right now, there's just too much coming out for us to not share our thoughts about it, talk about it for a while, and it's not going to be pleasant. I think it'll actually make the show a little bit shorter, because personally, I think when we get to the talking point, I'm going to say a bunch of stuff, And then Neil's going to say a bunch of stuff, and we're both going to kind of nod at each other in agreement, and then we're just going to move on. Because there's, I think this is one of the rare things that me and Neil are going to be...
completely in agreement
on. Yeah, like 95 to 100% in agreement on. But we're going to talk about that.
Put on your sad pants, motherfuckers.
Put on your sad pants, motherfuckers. But before we get to the sadness, we've got to thank people who made this sadness fountain possible. Behind our ugly mugs is a custom graphic that was provided by Mr. Mark Bell. We thank him for that. Then, of course, the theme song for this show and all the music done here on Old Man Gaming is provided by the man who makes the music, my brother Nick Van Sliders. We thank him for that. We'll be right back with Fan Interaction.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, that brings us to our first segment, our most important segment, that is Fan Interaction. That's where we, the co-hosts, we talk to you guys, the fans, and we read out all your comments and all the places that we find them. So let's get into this. Jason, you just got to be a know-it-all. Ordo Scriptorium would be the order of writers. The order of authors would be Ordo Auctorium. Probably a pedantic distinction, but I'm the professor. Yes, yes, yes. I misspoke. But it was still in that ballpark. He then continues, 34, there is porn of it, no exception. So it's rule 34. Rule 36, anonymous does not forgive. Rule 43, it is a delicious trap. You must hit it. It continues. My dad was involved in a class action lawsuit and he got a check for something like 13 cents. I'm looking for $70. That's it. $70. I will say this. I have been quoted a figure by the law firm. I've been quoted a figure as to what they believe that I should get. But I was not in the first round of people to sign up for the class action. So the first round people get to kind of go first. So I don't know what I'm going to get, but they have quoted me something that is much higher than 13 cents. We shall see what comes of it, though. Jason then continues, I hated Meet Your Maker. All the maps were designed to insta-kill me at some point. In fairness, that's the entirety of the game is designed to insta-kill. Like, that's the whole point of the game is try and insta-kill somebody. Like, that's it. Like, you don't have health, really. You die in, like, one single shot. So it's made to insta-kill you, man. I will say, though, I see your frustration. I don't know what it is that kind of drove me away from it a little bit. Because I like it. I like the premise. There's just something about it that just doesn't hold me long enough. I think my favorite thing about it is the making the dungeons for other people, but what irritates me about that is there's no way to just keep your dungeon active. So, like, you have to, like, build a dungeon, and then it starts out a low-form dungeon, and you have enough fuel for it to kind of get put into the servers. And then so many people get to experience your dungeon, then your dungeon goes offline, because you're not going to get any more resources till you put more resources in. The big problem I have with this is to put more resources in means it upgrades the dungeon no matter how you do it. So you can't just keep it at the lower level and just like turn it back on. You have to then go back in and upgrade it again, which I found very irritating. But other than that, like, I can't really find a reason that I didn't like it. I enjoyed the puzzle solving and stuff. I will say this, I didn't like, there were certain maps that were marked as hard, and they're impossible. They're impossible because your character isn't upgraded enough to go through them, like, period. So, like, if it's marked hard, you don't have the equipment to survive it, period. And I don't like that. I don't think that it should be hard, like, it shouldn't be offered to you at that point, you know? But yeah, I don't know. There's just something about it that it just didn't hold me. Not like Dead by Daylight did or many other games.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say for that game specifically, but that I do enjoy a game that tells me like how difficult something is going to be based off of my current level comparatively.
Yeah.
There's lots of different times that I've come across something like that where it says, you know, different games are like, oh, well, this is a pretty high level thing for you. Like Fallout was one of those. Mm-hmm. With Fallout 76, when I played that for a little bit, it was like, ah, you shouldn't be out here. But right. It's like, I actually enjoy that sort of shit to some degree.
Well, and I do too. But what bothers me is like, this doesn't, it's not like it's hard and you can do it. It's impossible. Like the map that I went into that was hard, I was like, I'm going to try hard. And I spent like 2 hours on it. And I realized at one point that like, to get through the part that I was in, I literally needed a piece of equipment that I hadn't unlocked yet. Like it was, there was just no way to get past the traps in any other form. And like, I'm like, this isn't hard then. This shouldn't be something I can go into, you know? And I just found that frustrating. I don't mind it saying, hey, this is way too bad for you. You shouldn't be here, but you could try it and potentially succeed. I don't mind that. I really got upset that this, it literally wasn't physically possible, due to the amount of equipment I had. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I didn't hate the game. It just, I don't know. There's just something about it that just didn't hold me. There's also like a severe hopelessness to that game that is beyond anything else, to the point where it's like, I don't know, it feels like everything's empty and doesn't matter anyway, in a way. And I know it's just a live service, so it's kind of just like a reason to do the loop, you know? But like, I'm like, what am I doing? Like, Earth's just populated by these giant mutants that eat people. There's no people around anymore. The only people are in my base, and they're literally stapled to chairs that keep them alive so that they can keep me going out there to do these runs. Like, there's a weird baby in a jar that is definitely not going to help me, but keeps saying it's trying to help me. Like, what are we even doing this for? Like, we're post-apocalypse at this point. Like, I don't know. It's just, I don't know. There's a lot about that game that just, I don't know, it just kind of pushed me away rather than pulled me in. It's one of my few regrets on purchases, to be honest. So, William Hohen then jumps in. Hi, exclamation point. Thanks for the shout out. On console prices and such, controllers are now really expensive and are not made that sturdy. Amen to that. $180 for an Elite controller, and if you take a bad breath on that thing, it's going to explode. Then we move on. On Nier Automata. Just finished my third playthrough, and oh boy, everyone should play Nier. Everyone. I won't spoil it, but let's say each time you play the game, it's very different. Thanks for the show. Hashtag, give Princess Peach a game. Yeah, well, she's getting a game. It's not the one I'd like to see out of it, but I will say, I know what you're talking about in Nier. I watch enough gaming videos to know there's like fucking like 52 endings to that game or something like that.
It's like one for every letter of the alphabet.
Mm-hmm. So have fun, man, because that's a fun unlock. I wish the subject material was something that even remotely interested me, but anime robot people just doesn't. And then we got one more Jason one. I heard you say something, but I couldn't understand it until later after I heard you talking about it. He's talking about the whole Nightingale thing. Honestly, though, I think it's too early to judge. Right now, it doesn't seem all that interesting to me. Doubly so since I only play on PC. I gotta say, I have removed it from my hard drive. It is another regret. I wish I had not purchased Nightingale. In 2 years, game might be great. But right now, it's just, it's an average at best survival crafting game that is held alive by the fact that it's really pretty when you play it, and it's one of the only steampunk games out there, you know? Other than that, it's literally just collecting rocks and shit like every other one. It really reminds me of Grounded, like the early days of Grounded, when it was just a train wreck coming out the gate, but its premise was so interesting that you wanted to play, and it was good enough to keep you going, you know? And now Grounded is arguably a 9 or 10 out of 10, honestly. It's a great game now. I urge anybody to go back to it. It's huge. It's got tons of depth and an interesting story to it, as well as the crafting mechanics. I think Nightingale could get there. I just think right now it is just not worth the time for me. Like, it just isn't. So, yeah. Unfortunately, I have removed it from my hard drive. Sorry. Might put it back on there if it gets good again, but...
Someday, one day,
maybe. We'll see. All right. So that is it for Fantraction. Let's get into this talking point. Let's do the dirty, basically.
Do the dirty.
We'll be right back.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. That brings us to the talking point that nobody wants to talk about. And I'm going to say this. I don't have to put on a tinfoil hat anymore. I have been saying for the last, 3 years, maybe 4, that there has been a gaming crash coming for AAA development, and it's actually happening. We're watching it happen. Sony has now laid off some insane amount of people, but 8% of its global workforce. In addition to that, Embracer has let another 2 studios go, Saber Interactive and Gearbox, of all things. And they only bought Gearbox last year, guys. Just want to point that out. So Gearbox is looking for a new parent company. And Saber Interactive, I think, just got bought by somebody else. So you have that happening. You also have even Star Citizen is being affected. That's got layoffs. Every major developer has huge layoffs. Just the gaming industry has been gutted as far as it goes, which I think will only lead to more crunch, and it will also only lead to more, like, the quality of our games dropping even more. I think that... If you don't mind me going on a rant for a sec,
go for it. I'm looking up something.
We are looking at an industry that makes more annually than the music, movie, and TV industries combined. That's how much money video games make. So how could we possibly be in this position? And I think the answer is very clear. They horribly, embarrassingly mismanage their companies. They mismanage how much money they spend. They mismanage how much money they spend on projects. The fact that they take in that much money and they still don't have enough to survive means that somewhere along the line, they forgot how to run companies. It's just that simple. There is a lot of shoulda and not coulda, and they also have got, there is a level of arrogance in the gaming industry that is unprecedented. I mean, and this stems from a lack of checks and balances, a lack of anybody looking at the gaming industry seriously. And what ends up happening is these people just Wild West it, and now we are at a situation where the AAA gaming is in one of the worst spots it's ever been in. The quality is going to drop. The amount of games we get are going to drop. We are going to get, like, and they're still not going to make enough to fund their people. You look at them, and their fixes to this is not let's spend less money. Their fixes to this is how do we make more money even though we're making more money than every other industry out there? How do we make more money? So they jack prices up. They put loot boxes, battle passes, and all other sorts of microtransaction bullshit in our games. And let's face it, the AAA games are not selling the way they used to. They're just not. The games that we talk about, on average, are not really AAA games. The big ones, the big heavy hitters, are very rarely AAA games. And when we are talking about those AAA games, we're talking about, hey, what went wrong? You know, you look at failures like Starfield. You look at potential failures, I mean, we'll talk about it in the news, as Skull and Bones. We'll talk about all sorts of these failures where it's just these massive over-expenditures on games. And then they don't make enough to survive, even though they're still making more than everybody else. You know?
Yeah, it is a problem of... it's a confluence of things. So we had... at COVID's peak, when gaming really took off, there was a lot of overhiring that happened and put a lot of muscle behind the development of games and everything at that point. And then we have things like, you know, the not totally thought through processes of, you know, the design of some of these games. Like, now that everything basically is all pointing towards a live service one way or another, these mm-hmm. games are meant to be like the only game or one of the two only games yep. that you play. There's only a finite amount of time that people have. I mean, right. for shit's sake, as I've gotten older, I get less and less time for it. You know, it's not like there's another kid who has infinite time that's replacing me. You know, there's less engagement overall with these games. And of course, there's the whole financial aspect of it, like you were talking about. You know, we have the implementation of loot boxes mm-hmm. and the expectations for sales, you know, on both the side of the developers and the side of the shareholders, and the expectation, the return on the investment. You know, what I was looking up over here is like shot in the dark right now. If you were to guess, how many people have been laid off basically 60 days into 2024 in the gaming industry as a whole? Shot in the dark.
I'm going to say probably around 500.
8,000 plus.
I'm not even in the ballpark.
Not even in the ballpark. Sony, so let's see. More is coming, absolutely. So just a quick scroll through this Kotaku article that I found here. Unity alone, 1,800 people.
Yep.
Twitch, 500. Discord, 170. Sony, the more recent one, 900 people. Where was the other one here? EA was just one that was just on the list here too. 670 people. It's basically falling apart right in front of our eyes, because yeah. every single game now, like, it's got this crazy turnaround time for it to make the games anymore. And the amount of time it's taking to make the game is not necessarily paying off in the end for what they're expecting to return on the investment that they made, how it was back in the day. You take something like you mentioned, Skull and Bones, which is basically in development for 10 years. How much money went into the development of that game, and how much needed to be returned on it to break even, let alone the fact that a game as a service really comes out swinging right from the jump, and you're going to drop at least half of your player base. And if you're lucky, 30 to 40% are going to be long time through the lifespan of the right. game. You know, we can't figure out how to implement a live service. We don't even know what it means anymore, because it's been so like diluted and everything. And because it's been so tainted overall, nobody knows what it is that they're, you know, wanting to do, supposed right. to do. And, you know, even the increase in the price of these games, you know, that they said was going to be the catch-all solution to everything, is not the thing. Myself today, I bought my copy of Final Fantasy VII Rebirth today. Okay. After tax, that sumbitch was $76.
Yep.
Absolutely insane. Mm-hmm. You know, and we're still bleeding people left and right. Who the people who oh. are remaining, like you mentioned, the people here who remain, they have two options. Mm-hmm. Option number one, they just shut up and deal with the extra workload and extra crunch and call it a day. Or option number two, they start jumping ship yep. as well, because they are getting burnout and they can't, you know, they can't deal with it anymore. I feel like the moves that they're trying to make in the gaming industry is too much too fast. But I mean, it's almost like what happened with Atari back in the day. Atari was just pumping shit out left and right.
Yeah.
This is kind of the opposite sort of effect on this. It's they'll put a game out, but they'll expect it to be something that's a long-term play. And if it doesn't succeed the way they want it to within the first 3 months or so, well, there's nothing we can do about it. Throw it up in the trash. We'll go do another one here.
Right.
It's the same thing, but at a different pace overall.
Well, and like I said, I there is also a level of just total mismanagement. You look at there's also this mentality of like buyer's market shit. You look at Embracer. Last year, Embracer bought Gearbox. Embracer bought, along with over the, what, like nine other studios? Now, a year later, they have to let all these studios go or shutter them because they didn't make a deal with a Saudi Arabian prince that they thought they were going to. Like, that in itself, just that story right there is enough to say, hey, somebody made a mistake somewhere along the line if you thought this was a good idea. Why were you buying those companies in the first place? Because if your company was already, if your company was hemorrhaging enough money to rely on, excuse me for it.
Oh. You good over there?
Yeah. Okay. Excuse me. If they were
hold on. Oh my god. He's so riled up, he's choking on his own spit. Choking on your own rage and hatred. That's what we'll go with.
Yeah, something like that, I guess. Alright. If they were so bad off that they were hemorrhaging money to the point where they required a Saudi Arabian prince to bail them out, right? Then they were hemorrhaging money before they even bought those companies in the first place. Why are you like, these are major billion-dollar companies. This doesn't happen overnight. Like, why were you buying damn companies to start with? Why are you stepping in and buying Gearbox, of all places? If you are going to require somebody else to even bail you out at the end of the day. Like, where is the foresight?
Buying Gearbox and then, yeah, like a year later, turning around and selling them. I don't know. I almost wonder if at that point they were hoping that they thought that the acquisitions of companies was going to be like the next digital gold rush, and they were trying to stake their claim on whatever they could stake their claim on in the hopes that Microsoft was going to swing in and buy it. I really think that may have had something to do with that. And I feel like the acquisitions and everything were the first step of what we were seeing. Now the layoffs are coming through. This here is the second step of this whole process.
Right.
We've already got step, 2.1 that happened as a part of this, because there were a bunch of projects that were announced as canceled. Uh-huh. We're missing out on a, I think it was Respawn was making a
Mandalorian. We're talking EA now. Yeah.
A Mandalorian first-person shooter.
Well, and let's talk EA for a second. They have shuttered all these companies. We're missing out on Mandalorian. We're missing out on a couple of other games. And why? Here's why. Their announcement was, we are going to rely on owned IP, sports games, and live service games. So the thing that brought you to the table as wrong, the thing that's not selling for you, which is live service games, is the thing that you want to make more of? Like, Anthem failed because of you guys. Like, your live service games are, like, name an EA game, live service, that is successful. Like, yeah, I guess you could say the sports games, but they're annualized franchises, so I don't consider them live service. So, like, they don't have one. What are you doing? Like, this is something else that bugs me. You look at Ubisoft, right? And I will say this about Ubisoft, as crappy as it may be as a company, it does do live service really well on a lot of points. Like, I'm dying over here for some reason. You look at For Honor, they pulled that out of the fire, and that's now a successful live service going 10 years in. You look at Rainbow Six Siege is still going, and that thing, like, how long has that been going? They actually have, like, live service games that they make work. Skull and Bones, however, Skull and Bones is a $70 game. They're calling a quad A game. And I'll say this, it's pretty. A lot of work went into this game. A lot of work went into this sailing arcade naval game. Why? Like, Skull and Bones would be just as cool if it wasn't as pretty. Just as cool. I promise you. But yet we spend 10 years working on this thing, there's no way you're going to get your money back on that. You know, you look back at EA and all that, it's the same thing. Like, it's like nobody's learning from their mistakes. And every time one of these live service games fail, they never look at it like, oh, maybe we shouldn't do live service. Maybe that's not our thing. Or maybe our live service thing, our live service model is not great. It's just get rid of that one, pump out a new one.
And it's not even just that, like, you know, this is one thing I was going to cover in like the newsy bits anyways, but sure. because we're talking about it, you know, Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag, the whole reason why Skull and Bones even existed has seen a resurgence in popularity, mm-hmm. and at one point had higher numbers than Skull and Bones itself.
Yeah,
that right there is the sign that you're doing something wrong. Yeah. That you're forcing somebody else to go want to play something that is older and not the thing that you just made.
I don't even think it's that. I don't even think it's that they don't want to play the new game. I like everybody keeps saying, oh, they're having this 200% resurgence because everybody's kind of protesting Skull and Bones. I'm like, no, Skull and Bones cost too much goddamn money. Whereas they could go play Black Flag for $40, maybe $30. Like,
yeah,
why does Skull and Bones cost so much goddamn money? Like, that's the problem. Yeah. Like, it's you're roadblocking your stuff. Like, it's not even that you're looking at it like that they're looking at it. And they should be like, oh, we should make narrative games as opposed to live service, because I think Ubisoft does great at live service. What they don't do good at is pricing. They don't do good at pricing, and they don't do good at marketing those live service games. I think the live service games that survive because there's always a team of developers that's really committed to the games that they put out. The For Honor guys, they have a weekly podcast that I used to watch called The Warrior's Den. They love this game. It's their baby, you know? They work so hard to get people back in. I think that connects with people, that brings them back. With Skull and Bones, it's the same thing. They've got developers who really love this game, who really wanted to work on this game. Why is it $70? Why are you trying to convince us that it's Quad A? Why are you trying to, you know, why is it this big? Why can't it just be a live service game that you're doing that's like $40 or whatever? You know what I mean? Skull and Bones has also already doubled their microtransactions, which I was going to talk about a little bit later. But one of my big things that I liked about it when I first started playing is I was like, oh, there's not that many microtransactions in here. Like, there's the gold thing, but it's all cosmetic and everything else is good. Sure enough, their season one started. Now we've got a battle pass. We've got three battle passes in there. And I will say this, from what I understand, anybody who is playing it got free access to this first battle pass. But I bet you $1,000 season two, season three, and season four's battle pass is going to cost money. So yeah. I've now paid $70 for it there, and now I have to pay how much for the battle pass? You know?
And that's the thing, too, is like in the case of Skull and Bones, this is just another reason why people are starting to fall off of gaming, is I feel like because they've been so blatant with how they are presenting things, or rather not presenting things, mm-hmm. That now it's starting to leave a taste in people's mouths.
Yeah, it really is.
It started with the Crash Nitro Kart remake back a while ago. No microtransactions. Hey, but why is there this storefront? Huh, that's kind of weird. And after all the reviews come out, then it hits.
Microtransactions, yeah.
And that's the thing is, I guarantee you, they knew full well that people were already on the fence, not even on the fence. They were considering maybe straddling the fence if it turned out good enough.
Right.
With Skull and Bones, because of just the negative press surrounding it.
Right.
So they withheld and suppressed everything that they possibly could.
Yeah, sure.
And then now that the reviews are out and like, reviews are like, you know, I'll solid okay. Okay, mm-hmm. maybe this is worth the shot. Maybe I'll pick it up. Oh, okay, yeah, thank you for buying our game that's much overpriced. We're going to get you invested yeah. in it, and then we're just going to crank the microtransactions.
And we shouldn't even be just leveling on Skull and Bones. Every one of these companies do this.
And that's the thing, is it's been a long time coming.
Yeah.
You have Capcom yes. with their own yes. disc DLC. They made it. It's already there. It exists. Whenever you buy your DLC, it's just a couple kilobytes of data that unlocks yep. the shit. That drove me up a fucking wall yeah. whenever they were doing that. Thank God they've stopped. You know, they have all these other live service games that are being put out as trash, or even just general, like not even live service games anymore.
Well, Capcom's pricing and everything for everything. Their weird little trickiness on that.
The weird bullshit that they do with collector's editions now that yeah. don't contain the actual game.
Yeah.
Get the whole fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Like that is the shit. That is why people don't trust game companies.
Right.
That's why they do subscribe to services like Game Pass,
yeah.
where they kind of at least know what they're getting for a flat rate. Mm-hmm. It's not like, you know, they're spending an extra $60 to turn around and be disappointed.
Yeah.
You're paying your flat, what, $18 something every single month, at least in my case,
to get access.
I was going to say, yeah, because I have the PC
nice.
And
PC's
yeah,
nice.
I have the PC, Xbox, all yeah. in one, xCloud, everything. But, you know, in that case, like I'll pay $18, you know, even $20. Mm-hmm. I'll pay $20 a year, a month for a year.
Yeah.
$240. That's four $60 games if we're following by the traditional pricing that I would pay for the year. And I get, you know, untold access to all of yeah. these different games available. You know, that is the thing that people want at this point, because games are so goddamn expensive now.
Right.
Because partially, at least, because of the reasons that we've been talking about here now, you know, because companies are going to they
yeah.
have these unrealistic sales expectations.
Yeah.
They have to turn around and make that money somewhere to yeah. meet those goals that are unattainable for themselves.
Yeah.
So they do it by doing stuff like that. And they portray this false sense of profit
yeah.
by cutting staff
yeah.
in situations like this.
They also,
it's a self-made problem.
Yeah. They also they expect players to play one game for the rest of their lives. That's what yeah. they expect. I love Skull and Bones. I have over 50 hours in it already. I absolutely love the game. It's what I would be doing right now if I was not recording this podcast. It is not going to be the last game I ever play. Like, it's not going to be the only game I ever play. Like, there is this unreal... This is one of the things I loved about the PAL World thing we were talking about a couple of weeks ago when they released their statement. Like, we don't mind that the player count dropped. They want to play something else. That's fine. Like, whereas you have these companies like, we're going to make this game. They're going to spend ungodly amounts of money on it and it alone forever. In perpetuity. And that's how we're going to make our money. That is not the way entertainment works. It's just not.
Mm-mm.
And it's dumb to think it is. So, like, I don't know. I think that, like, you have a perfect storm of stupidity at the top of AAA gaming right now. I will say I do like that. I do. What I do think is funny is you look at, like, AA games. Have we heard any big layoffs from AAs or single A games? No. Nothing?
Not really.
No. And that's because AA and single A games are just making the games they want for the right amount of money, what they can afford, because they're still connected to real people. It's not big CEOs with golf courses in their backyards who don't understand how much people actually have to spend money on. And that's the problem. The problem right there is the disconnect. And gaming has one of the worst, largest disconnects there is. And it is so evident by the disparity between the amount of money, the untold, ungodly amount of money that industry makes as a whole, and how much they spend. How are you overspending that? Like, that's insane. But yeah, I don't know. It's just real sad. It's real sad. You know, you've got now 8,000 people out of work. I am sure there's more people coming out of work, plus that only means that the quality, like, games don't get better when there's less people working on them, guys. Right. Like, not AAA games anyway. You know, it just doesn't. All right? So, like, these games are going to get even worse while you have CEOs trying to shoehorn in more, like, microtransaction-y bullshit. I don't see how this gets better. And I think that as far as it goes, I think AAA gaming is, like, 2024 is going to be a real bad year for them, and 2025 is going to be destitute. We're going to be in real trouble in 2025, you know?
Yeah, I want to see. I think, personally, I think it's really going to start to come to a head, or at least start to present itself in a more clear manner in a lack of things coming out in 2026, which is funny enough when it sounds like those new consoles are coming out.
Right.
Boy fucking howdy, that's for interesting.
Yeah, for a cool $1,000. Yeah, I agree with that mostly, although I can't say that 8,000 people losing their job isn't the start of it, isn't a very visible start.
Oh, yeah. No, that's fair. Yeah.
I think we're going to see nothing but delays and cancellations for all of 2024. And that is going to lead into a destitute 2025. And as far as 2026, man, I really hope that all those fancy gadgets and what's it they put in those new consoles are going to look really great with those AA and AAA games that you're going to be able to play on them, because there ain't going to be no fucking first party ones. I mean, except for Microsoft. But even Microsoft, they're even worse, because they laid off a bunch of people and then declared they were, what, the third ever, like, $8 billion company or something like that? So, like,
yeah,
fuck you guys. We had to lay people off, but we're the third most profitable video game company in history.
We had to lay people off after we said that we weren't going to lay anybody off after our big, super big deal went through.
Right. And shame on anybody who thought that wasn't going to happen. You know, like, it's like, at this point, this point is stupid. All right, I think we've covered it. You want to hit the news?
Yeah.
All right, that's it, guys. We're all done with the sadness. We will be right back with the news and bits.
Almost.
There's a little bit more sadness in the news. There always is.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that brings us back to the news. Our final thing we do on the show that we are recording. And basically we collect headlines that we didn't decide to put in a talking point that we want to tell you about, riff about, whatever. Neil has 4, I have 3. Neil, start us off.
This one here I'm kind of shoehorn in basically from what we were talking about a little bit here ago. So, you know, we were talking about all these layoffs that have been just hammering the industry overall. Right. However, there is an individual over at Larian. His name is Michael, I believe it's Douse.
Okay.
He actually, after Sony announced their layoffs, went online and urged everyone who's been laid off to at least apply at Larian. Because he said that he is sure that there's great talent out there being wasted by these layoffs.
That's sweet. That's sweet. I mean, obviously, Larian can't afford to pay 8,000 more people. But yeah, that's nice. That is really nice. Larian's a good company, man. So far, they're a good company. I haven't seen any problems with them.
Not yet.
All. Not yet. Yeah, right? Give it time. We loved Obsidian.
It comes for them all.
We loved Obsidian. Now they're shitty. But yeah, I'm enjoying that, and that's really nice. That is a really nice thing. Mine is not so nice. And it does still relate to our talking point. Skull and Bones announced recently that it had record-setting player engagement. And then quickly people were like, well, how many copies did you sell? And they were like, we don't want to tell you. So,
but the free trials are a bitch.
But they said they have roughly, on average, 4 hours of engagement a day from players. And I know I haven't played 4 hours a day. I'll tell you that right now. I've played plenty, but I haven't played 4 hours a day. Not even close. But it does make me wonder if there's like 70 us. Just like who really liked the game. Like, because yeah. player engagement would go up if the player count went down. So it's just like the 70 like diehards, and Ubisoft's like, look at these guys.
If you only have 70 people playing and like 50 of them are playing 8 hours a day,
there you go. And your average goes way up.
Just paying an hour,
record-setting yeah. engagement.
Record-setting engagement.
I will say this: I have unlocked. It's almost shameful that I have, but I have unlocked the highest end game that Skull and Bones offers. And it's actually interesting because it relies on a leaderboard for how you get like your currency from there. I don't want to go into that, but just the fact that there is a leaderboard, I can see that there is at least 58,000 people playing on a regular basis, because there's 58,000 people above me. So there's at least that many people playing on a weekly basis. I'm going to get really nervous when there's only like 10 people above me, because I'm not that good a player. So like, then we'll be in trouble. But there's at least 60,000 people playing, which may mean that it's more successful than we think it is. The real question is it successful enough to warrant its development hell? Personally, I think what's going to happen is I think everybody who's playing it either played it with the free trial, or they played it with 1 month of the Ubisoft Connect, which is, you know, $18 per month. But I think that's plenty of a reason for you to be like, I'm just going to go $18 for a month, play it for a month, and then, you know, cancel my subscription. So I will really see... I think it'll be really telling if in 3 months we still have that kind of player count and engagement, what we're talking about. I will say, Ubisoft does have a really good track record with keeping games alive way longer than their expiration date. That being said, I don't like the price or anything that led up to it. It just, this was a really, really sus kind of announcement. Like, 4 hours a day, record engagement. How many did you sell? We declined to comment on that. Like, what?
But it is a lot.
We're going to say it's more than a small amount.
It is a non-zero number.
Right. It's more than one. all right. So your turn.
Speaking of live service shenanigans.
Oh god.
Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League.
What a fucking joke.
Warner Brothers has officially come out and said it has fallen short of expectations. No goddamn shit.
Yeah.
So according to the IGN article that this came up through, the game at the time of the writing of that article had a peak player count on Steam of 888 people.
Mm. We're talking Babylon's Fall number now.
We are definitely talking Babylon's Fall numbers right now.
I have said this repeatedly. That game is the height of people not understanding how to make a game. Or a live service game, really. Like, they literally just think live service, AAA game companies literally just think live service is Destiny. Like, that's what they think it is. Because there's no other reason for this game to be Destiny, and this game is Destiny. And that's, and it's not even a good Destiny, right? Like, it's not even on the par with that. It's just like a shoehorn Destiny. look, I don't like it when things fail, because there are tons of people who worked on this game who put hard sweat and tears in this game. It's not their fault that there's microtransactions. It's not their fault that it looks the way it does or come out the way it does. They tried. They worked. There's plenty of developers on the floor that may even lose their jobs because this game fails. But at the same time, this game should not succeed, because this game is the... insensitivity at its absolute height, right? It's not listening to your player base, not listening to anything. Like, you have a set of three games that are classic superhero games, arguably the best superhero games ever made, without a doubt. Like, you can't say it 100%. There's definitely an argument to be made, but you could put the Arkham games in the conversation easily. Mm-hmm. Then you took that legacy and you followed it up with another game that was eh, and then, but that was made by a different company. And then you took that and just shoehorned it into a live service game that not only does a terrible job at the live service, it does a terrible job of representing superheroes, and then it, in addition, does a terrible job of continuing your legacy from the first three games you made. So you have a trifecta of dumb shit going on with Suicide Squad. So, like, I'm sorry. I have a really hard time feeling bad that that game's failing.
And I feel like, too, when Gotham Knights came out and was received the way it was, that should have been a full-ass fucking stop. Like, e-brake, mm-hmm. stop the train, like, there's no more tracks ahead, stop. It's not, again, it's not the fact that it's a live service game. I'm trying to keep my own prejudices against live service games in check here, but it was the implementation. It's the,
right.
the strictly just, it's built around number go up because reasons.
Right.
I mean, Suicide Squad, I mean, you have somebody like King Shark, whose whole thing is just eating people and ripping them apart. Mm-hmm. And let's give him a gun. He's got to have a gun. It's one of those types of games. He's got to have a gun.
Despite your bias against live service games, I think, personally, I could pitch to you a live service superhero game that would interest you. Because...
Oh, I know they could exist.
Right. They could exist. That's what I'm saying. It's not even necessarily the always online bias. It's the fact that instead of trying to take what the Suicide Squad is... and turn it into a game that also has live service elements, you were like, we need a Destiny, slap Harley Quinn on that shit. And that is not acceptable. It's just not acceptable anymore for fans. It just isn't. You can't do this shit anymore.
It's a round peg in a square hole.
Yeah, like, it really is.
They try to make something fit that is not, they're right. just not primed to fit it.
I cannot believe that they even did this game after Marvel, like you said, the Avengers. Like, I can't even believe that they saw what happened with the Avengers and were like, we can do it with a more Destiny-like game. I'm going to say this. At least Marvel's Avengers had superheroes doing superhero stuff. Hulk yeah. punched things. Captain America threw his shield. Like, they did superhero stuff. You took that and were like, you know what? Too much superhero stuff. Give them a pistol. You know, like, it's insane. It's absolutely insane to me.
Absolutely.
All right. My turn then. Mm-hmm. This is a fun one. This is a super fun one. But actually, both mine are fun now. Because there's a game no one who listens to this podcast has ever heard of. But I just thought this was so interesting. I wanted to share it. It is a game called Threat Rhythm Down. Threat Rhythm FF, something like that. Threat Rhythm, I think.
Oh, the Theater Rhythm, yes.
Theater Rhythm.
That is one of the ones I have, yes.
Oh, man, yes. That sucks. That's not the one I thought I was going to steal. So it's a game that connects to the internet, but it's like a rhythm-based game based on like Final Fantasy music. Mm-hmm. On Leap Day, it was down. It was just down all day, and nobody could figure out why. And it turns out that the reason was... that the game connects to the internet to check if it's your birthday so that you can get a little prize if it is your birthday. But when the programmers did this, they forgot to add in leap year. So it would go to the internet to check for February 29th and was like, well, I can't process. And it just stopped moving. So like the game literally went down because it was leap year for a full day.
And the best part is, too, as near as we can tell, there are no plans for an actual official fix to this. Their solution was just change the date
Console. Change the date. What I find funny is that means that in 4 years, if you're playing that game, it's going to shut down. I think that's hysterical. All right. Well, so now we both only have one then, I think, right?
Yeah, and I'm just going to go with mine.
Go
for it.
Because
this was the one thing that I actually had. I had started to make a list for last week, but then we did the other thing instead, the showcase instead.
Right.
But I didn't really save the article for it like I normally do. But there's actually going to be a Dead by Daylight Iron Maiden crossover.
Yes, yes. I actually am aware of that because Jason, listener to the show, posted some of that stuff to Discord. Looks really cool, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think that's cool as shit, like, yeah. Reaching out and, like, doing stuff with that, too.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things that you don't really, like, you wouldn't think of right from the jump. But if you think about it for any longer than, like, 5 seconds, it's like, huh, actually... Like, you know, Disturbed has their mascot, you know, like,
yeah,
there's tons of opportunity there for different things,
especially with a horror game. Like, metal is like rife with that stuff, and it is very cool. They have some really cool skins there. I mean, of course, it is a microtransaction for a game that you have to pay for, which is a bummer, but it is cool. I'm not gonna knock that. So, my final one is one of my favorite things. And this also, well, yours didn't come from Jason, but he did post about it. This came from Jason. He posted it. I thought he had found a joke on the internet. And then I looked it up and found out it was not a joke. It is 100% real. What am I talking about, you may ask? Well, I want everybody, maybe even before I'm done talking, to go to your Googles, and I want you to go to your search bar, and I want you to type in game scent. That's what I want you to type in, because what you will find
is
a peripheral for your game console that is AI powered that allows you to smell what's going on in your game. That's right. If you're playing Doom, you can smell hell. If you're in the rain, you can smell those rain. If something's burning, Game Scent will fart out a little puff of something that'll make you smell burning wood. I'm on the website right now. Discover the future of entertainment with Game Scent. Compatible with all gaming consoles and streaming platforms. Powered by AI with our devices release real-time scents that enhance every scene. Immerse yourself in gaming. Gunfire, race cars, explosions, forest, storm. Neutralize the scents from the app. I love that that's a feature. That like there's also a button that allows you to be like, okay, I don't want to smell that anymore. Please stop. You want to know how much this is?
That I did not hear what the price would
be. It is $150 to make your house smell like a fucking... To make your house smell like dead bodies. It is $150.
That is just like... It's one of those things that, like, in the 80s, I'm sure there was a movie about, like, some VR gaming system that was like, oh, you can smell the smells and feel the feels. And it's, like, one of those things where, like, wow, that's so cool.
Right.
And back to what we said before, if you think about it for any longer than 5 seconds, in this case, it's not a great idea. You actually reminded me of one that I forgot to put on my list, and it's a very straightforward one because you mentioned Doom. I don't know if you saw this or not, but they are actually putting out Doom on the Husqvarna auto mower. The little robot.
Stop, people. I told you this is how we get demons, all right?
The little robot mower that you can just have mow your lawn automatically is going to have an update available for it that you can download the first Doom game, OG Doom from 93, and install on the mower, and you will be able to play it on the lawnmower on the tiny screen on
I'm telling you, this is how we get actual demons, because the one that you said the other day where it's like I could make people's cells play Doom, and then all of a sudden Oklahoma is hell and we don't know what happened, and it's some guy wanted to put doom on a carcass, and then all of a sudden it was a demon and gained sentience. Please stop putting doom on things. It's just, it's not funny anymore. It's starting to get kind of scary. Dystopia, we're living in a cyberpunk dystopia, man. We've got, like, machines in our house now that make dead body smells whenever we kill something in a video game, and we've got Doom on a lawnmower. This is weird at this point. It's just weird. Ugh. Mm-hmm. Well, that's it for news. We will do the plugs and be done.
Yes.
Horrible Gaming Podcast.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We're done getting weird. It is the end of the show. The shameless self-promotion that comes with it. Neil, what would you like to plug, sir?
We have finally, officially recorded the very first session of that upcoming Ordo Scriptorum.
Oh, you got it right this time.
I did. And not going to lie, I was terrified I was going to mess up the name. no spoilers. Out of context, America.
Yeah, it was fun. It was fun. We have recorded the first one. I think it went really well. It was a little bit more comedic than a gothic horror game would be. But I think that is going to quickly turn into us getting murdered because we're all idiots. So,
but still
comedically. Yes. So it should be a lot of fun. We don't have a release date on that yet. It will be near to the release date of the actual gaming supplement. So we'll give you guys more on that when it's coming. As far as anything else, I do believe this week is the season 3 finale of Old Man General Manager. It is WrestleMania 3 for us, for me and Jerome. Can I come back and take it back from him, or will he go up one on me, which will make me very sad? You have to find out. You have to find out. Will the computer players that we put on hard beat us? Probably. But you guys will have to check that out. With that, this Friday, we have our special episode of OMGM. This is something that my partner, Grandpa Gamer, wanted to do that I reluctantly committed to, but I have to make created wrestlers to represent us in the game. So he was like, we have to have them wrestle in an episode. Like, that was his requirement. So for every season when it ends, the day after that, we do the GM versus GM thing. And right now, it's 1-1 on that, too. But that's also with the computer GMs that we made, too. So that will happen this Friday. So check those both out. That would be my big plug for this week. Other than that, we got a lot of stuff coming. We also got the Stump Gang on the TTRPG side and plenty of, like, Let's Plays and whatnot, so check all that out. You can also contact us on Facebook at OldManGamingDH, on Twitter at OldManGaming9. You can join our Discord in the link in the description below. Let us know. You can influence everything from there. Cannot get things right today. I do want to do a quick ask of anybody listening to this. Please post in the comments whether you would be willing or interested to pay $2 a month for extra Patreon content from this channel. I have no idea, Neil. I'm not gonna ask anybody else. It would probably just be me doing weird shit, but I just want to interest it, because I'm looking into other avenues for this, for monetization, like merchandising and potentially a Patreon. So just let me know in the comments, would you be willing to, what amount would you be willing to pay, that sort of thing, and what would you want to see if we did do that. And yeah, other than that, you guys, as long as you keep watching and listening, we'll keep making them. That's the way it is. We'll see you guys next time. Pause. Early show again. Love it.
Yes.
Give me more time to play Skull and Bones before they shut it down.
I'm thinking, like, we were talking about it, and I feel like the Suicide Squad game, it's going to get the one update that they promised, but mm-hmm. it's going to be the last one.
Well, and they have a roadmap, which is fucked up. Like, so they're going to like deny players who actually enjoy that roadmap, which is irritating. I will say, as much as I hate what's going on and stuff, I do much more respect a company that like I don't like Ubisoft, but at least they stick with their games. Yeah. And they work with them until they're absolutely like, we can't succeed anymore. You know what I mean? Like, people forget that live service is earned. That's the big problem with these companies, is they're like, mm-hmm. we're going to make a live service money. We're going to make millions of dollars, and that'll be that. It's earned. You have to earn people's trust, and you have to keep them around, and you have to give them reasons to keep playing your game instead of another live service, you know?
I feel like I would almost appreciate the game companies more if they did not, like, if it was a game that was like Skull and Bones, mm-hmm. you know, a long and storied delay history, and everybody's just kind of like, I wonder how long this is actually going to last. Like, if they did not come out with a roadmap or something like that right from the jump, if they let the game run for a while. Yeah. Because, like, nowadays, like, in today's day and age, like, it's hollow and almost is like a marking a game for death in some cases by saying, hey, man, I know shit's rough, but we got a plan, I promise, knowing full well that they're going to give it 4 or 5 months of runway.
I don't like a roadmap.
Takes off.
I don't like a DLC roadmap from any company, because a DLC roadmap from any company is assuming that your launch is going to go off without a hitch, which just never happens. That's an insane thing to do. Like, what? Like Skull and Bones has a year of content with 4 seasons planned, and all of those seasons have new captains that you have to fight and new missions and everything. Like, and I'll say this, Skull and Bones launched okay, but what if it hadn't? You couldn't have possibly kept up with that. It's the same with Anthem. Anthem couldn't keep up with their roadmap because it was a train wreck when it came out. Like, the roadmaps, I wish a roadmap would come out like 2-3 months after the game came out. Like, because then it's like, we know what we need to work on, here's the roadmap, you know?
Yeah, and you know what's crazy to think about? Like, this thought just popped into my head. Like, we compare, you know, these games now to Anthem. Like, what if Anthem was compared to, like, if Anthem and something else that came out today was launched at the same exact fucking time?
Yeah.
Like, the rules have changed so much.
Yeah.
Like, would Anthem still be around? Would they have stuck with it? Or was that just early days and nobody knew what the hell they were doing? I mean, it was clear they didn't know what they were doing. But, like, I feel like nobody still today knows what they're doing. We're getting shit like Suicide Squad, Kill the Justice League.
Right. I will say this. Ubisoft is a shitty company, but as far as live service games and engagement, they have earned my trust a little bit on them. Because of For Honor, because of Rainbow Six Siege, which I didn't play, but just how they kept with it. So, like, for me, like, there is that level, and that's one of the things I'm talking about. There is that level of, at the very least, I think I'm going to get that roadmap. I don't think that they're going to cancel before that roadmap finishes. If they cancel after, okay, but I'm pretty sure they've said that they're going to deliver on it. And that is because they have showed me in the past that they can do that. And I think that, like, that's something these other companies that are trying to hop on this forget, is, like, Destiny earned their shit. You know what I mean? Like, they earned their path there. Like, Bungie was Bungie with Halo first, earned all the respect there, went to become Destiny. Destiny was basically one of the first live service games that did it this way. Came out and earned their shit. You know what I mean? Like, they earned their respect in the area of this zone, right? Like, even on 2, they sold 2 at first, fine, but then they broke away from the company, went to free to play, and their model is arguably much better, you know? These other companies don't want to earn it, and that's what bothers me. It's one of the reasons I was so pissed about Anthem, is Anthem did bad. They cut the fucking team to shreds. So, like, it was, like, 7 people working on it. And those people came up with Anthem 2.0 to make it better. And then when it was pitched, it got shut down. You quit on it. Nobody is going to think that the next time that comes around, you're not going to quit on it. You have to earn your trust with live service. Live service is a relationship with the consumer instead of, here's a product you purchase, you go away now. Live service is a relationship with people. To have a relationship with people, you have to earn their trust. It doesn't matter how much money you want to make. You have to get them to go, I trust this company, Company A, to make my live service games and keep me engaged and happy. Yeah, these companies forget to do that.
And I think, yeah, that's really a good way of putting it, too. Because it's like, you know, like I was talking about earlier, I got the Final Fantasy VII game. Okay, I bought it. I paid my money. It's mine now. Go away.
Right.
You know, like I'm not going to get anything else out of this game.
Right.
A DLC maybe, even though I didn't play the last one, but that's beside the point. You know, like that's it.
Right.
With a live service game, it is intentionally, you know, the updates are the feedback from the customer, like the players, you know.
Yep.
If you say, hey, fuck you and everything that you just told me, I don't care what you have to say, I'm just going to make it be whatever it is that I want it to be. It is just like a relationship.
Yep.
That's it. It's done. Well, I'm breaking up with you from my hard drive. Like, you know, I'm not going to deal with this shit anymore. Right. I'm going to go somewhere else and find a game that'll love me for me.
That is exactly right. Even with Suicide Squad, as bad as that game is, as ill-conceived as that game is, that game opened a relationship with people, and now it's finishing that relationship with people by saying, you're not worth it for me to continue to work on this. I know that you bought in, but you're not worth it enough for us to keep doing it. And that's the big problem, is that players of live service games, they want that trust. That's the reason they are going to play your game. That's the reason they're going to come back to you. That's the reason they're going to play in your world for years and years and come. That's the reason they're going to want to come back when you update it or do it or whatever, or you make a new game. And these companies with this live service model, at the very least, at least Ubisoft does that. They have an open communication with their players, at least from the devs who are making it to them. I mean, the higher up CEOs are all fuckbags. I'm not saying that they're not. They do the pricing and they're awful people. But the developers at least communicate with us. They make the fixes that we change. They have a very open dialogue with us, and they earn the trust of the players that play them. It's one of the reasons they have successful live service games. Destiny, same way. One of the reasons it has successful live service games. You look at all these other fucking companies trying to jump on the bandwagon. What do? They go, this is our Destiny. They launch it. Everybody hates it. They go, fuck it, we're done. Why would anybody trust you to get in a relationship with you again? Fuck, even Fortnite does it better than that. Fortnite has a relationship. It's why people go back to Fortnite over and over and over and over again. You cannot, with live service games, it is not a one-done purchase. You have to have a relationship with your players, and you have to keep giving them a reason to trust you. Not to come back, to trust you. And that's the problem. It's not a shiny thing that you're throwing in front of them. It is trust that you are going to deliver on your promises. It's the whole thing. And like, none of these companies do it. Suicide Squad has now, like Warner Brothers has now basically poisoned the well for any time they do this again. Because any live service player is going to look at that and go, what about with Suicide Squad? I mean, you've got two people with Suicide Squad. You have one person who is like, you should have never made that game, and I never wanted to play it, and I don't trust you to make a good live service game from there on. And then you've got another person who is like, I love Suicide Squad. I bought Suicide Squad, and you told me to go fuck myself. Why would I buy a new game from you? You know?
And there's no third person to
bounce off of. No third person. There's no third person. So, yeah. I'm going to have to put this in at the bonus or something.
I was going to say, I guess we weren't done with the conversation.
I guess we weren't done. We had another.
There was a little bit more.
Had another topic to do. All right, let's get into the plugs.
Blood from the stone.
Blood from the stone. We drained that shit. Like with the udders, stone udders.
Stone. Now it's getting weird.
It is getting weird. It always gets weird with me, baby. That's how it works.